Okay, Moray Rabotai, I welcome this august assemblage to the third Chazara Shir of the fall 2008 semester. Until now, we have reviewed the Shiurim from the beginning of the semester, and if I'm not mistaken, we are in the middle of the Shiur that Rav Konigsberg gave about Tumas Kohanim. The issue that Rav Konigsberg described at the beginning of Shiur is it mutter for Kohen to go to medical school? There are a few eitzes that Poskim said, perhaps as a spek sfeik of Kifri Akum, etc. This is all what we spoke about last time. The end of the Shiur focused on two issues of travel that also are relevant for Tumas Kohanim. First of all, going in a car on top of a road when there are going to be one of two things. Either there are going to be kvarim underneath the road. This is an issue that comes up in Eretz Yisrael on some of the roads, that unfortunately they paved roads on top of kvarim. Alternatively, the issue that comes up, for example, on the what's now called the Jackie Robinson. So you have some trees that hang out over the road where there's a Beis HaKvaros right there. It's actually a Beis HaKvaros, a Jewish Beis HaKvaros. And the trees that hang out over the road. So the shaila is it permitted for Kohanim to ride on these roads? Now this shaila is really divided up into two parts. The first part is based on the Gemara in Baba Basra that Dover HaMakabel Tuma is not going to be Chotitz B'fnei HaTuma. If I want to be Chotitz B'fnei HaTuma, if I want to interrupt the flow of the Tuma, I need something that's not Makabel Tuma. Something that is Makabel Tuma isn't a Chatzitza for Tuma. The other issue that we will have to focus on is the discussion of Ohel Zarek. Ohel Zarek also, right? The halacha is an Ohel is a self-contained unit for and prevents Tumah from spreading beyond it. Or you don't, if I'm in an Ohel, so Tumah that's outside doesn't get into me because I'm in an Ohel. But if it's an Ohel Zarek, so the Gemara actually in Gittin says that Ohel Zarek is Lav Shmei Ohel. Now, let's talk about each of these questions on its own. In terms of Davar Mekabel Tuma, whether it's Chotzeitz, there are some shitos in Rishonim that something that it's Notoi Ka'ohel, something that is spread out, like a tent. So in that situation, even though it's Mekabel Tuma, it is still Chotzeitz B'fnei HaTuma. When I say Davar Mekabel Tuma is not Chotzeitz B'fnei HaTuma, it could be that that's talking about just a Chatzitza. Like if I have a wall, a mechitza, that is supposed to block between the tumah and where I am, so in that situation I say Dovra Mekabel Tumah is not chotzeitz. But if I have an ohel, a complete tent sort of thing, so even though it's Mekabel Tumah, it might be chotzeitz b'fnei hatumah. That is one opinion in Poskim. There's another svara to be makel on this shaila of driving in a car, and that is because most cars are made out of aluminum. Now, aluminum is not one of the six metals that's mentioned in the Torah. Achas hazohav es hakosef, es hanachoshes es habarzel, es habedil ves haofares. Right, the Torah only mentions six metals. The shaila is, what about metals that are not mentioned in that list? Rav Moshe Feinstein, with respect to tevilas kelim, wants to be makel based on this idea of aluminum. Now, aluminum is not one of those metals that's mentioned, so therefore, it's not Mekabel Tumah. However, the Teferis Yisrael Mishnayis assumes that the six metals I mentioned in the Torah is only a dugma. It's only an example. But Lamaisa, many more metals are usher. So according to the Teferis Yisrael, obviously, we can't be makel based on aluminum. So that's the issue in terms of Dabar HaMekabel Tumah. The shaila then comes up also, what about the other element of this question? What about the Ohel Zarek thing? Ohel Zarek lo shmei Ohel. Some Rishonim, Taisus writes in Erevin actually, that Ohel Zarek might only be if it's like a Talis Hamanofef, if it's something that's just flying in the air. But something that's Nigrar Agabe Karka is not considered Ohel Zarek. So an automobile, which is an old-fashioned word for a car, right, an automobile that's driving on the road, l'chora, you might not be able, at least according to that Taisus in Erev, and you might not be able to say that it's considered Ohel Zarek, which is Lav Shmei Ohel. Therefore, it would be Shmei Ohel, and therefore you'd be okay. Now, so Lamaisa, we have a few Svaras. We have a few Svaras to be Mekel on the Shaila. It's not so great. Right, each of these things on its own, l'chora, we'd be machmir on. Aluminum isn't such a great idea. The fact this day in Rishonim that davar hamakabel tuma is choltis b'fnei atuma when it's not really ka'ohel, it's not the mainstream opinion in Rishonim. The taisis in Erevin, it could be that we don't pask in that way. It's not pashut. But what Rabbi Konigsberg mentioned might be a good svara l'hakel is at least in the case of the Jackie Robinson. So what happens? You have the trees that are going out from the Beis HaKfaros and are mahil on top of your car. If your car is not an independent oihel, it's a problem, Machora. Yeah, but you have to be very careful. You see, this din of trees on top of a kever is really called Schachos Upraos. Schachos Upraos, the Shach points out, is only Toma Machmas Safik. What that means is that I'm not sure, maybe this thing that's jutting out is also being mahal on the kever. So now, if you have a situation that the tree is very close to the wall, and the only branches of the tree that are being mahal on the kever are on the far side of the tree, from your perspective on the road, so then obviously the shaila doesn't apply. There's no suffix at all that it's being mahal both on the kever and on you. Because the part that's being mahal on the kever isn't going on you. Right? The only time it possibly could be an issue is if the tree is further in and you have kvarim between the fence of the Beis HaKfar, so to speak, and the tree, so it's being mahal over. That's not so likely. No saf al kach, the Rush writes that there's a minimum shear of a tefach. Right? If it's not a tefach, it's not maybe a satuma. So what very often happens is you have branches, right?
The branch has to be a tefach wide.
The branch has to be a tefach wide, right. So at the beginning of the branch, it's going to be a tefach wide. But over there, that's not where I am. The part of the tree that's mahal over me is further out onto the road. And over there, the branches are not a tefach. So l'maisa, there are svaris to be made. All that what you do is you close all the windows and you go by, shine based on the schachos upraos, based on the fact that it might not be a tefach, in addition to all of the other svaris I mentioned in poskim. It happens that there is an organization, I think called Mishmeres Kahuna, that's based in Muncie, and basically what they do is they identify all of the roads in the New York area and in Yerushalayim, in a lot of places where there's a potential tumas kohanim shayla, and they get permission to trim the trees, to solve. It's a very kedai thing. It might not be absolutely necessary, technically to be mekel, but miyos tov, obviously it's a lot better. Fine. Now, there is a further discussion that's relevant. The same exact issues come up in terms of flying in a plane. Now, flying in the plane can be divided up into two different shailas. There's flying in the plane on top of a Beis HaKvaros, which they found out a few years ago was a shaila that all the planes that left Eretz Yisrael flew over some, I think it was a Beis HaKvaros in Chulon, and that was a big question that came up. It comes up also here in Kennedy. There is a Beis HaKvaros, I forgot which way, but there is a Beis HaKvaros in Queens, pretty close to Kennedy Airport, that many of the planes fly over that Beis HaKvaros. And that's also the same show. That, I think, is a Beis HaKvaros show in the Yehudim, so it's less of a question. Now, the shiloh flying over cemeteries, one shiloh. The other shiloh which comes up also is...
LaGuardia might fly over.
Maybe it's LaGuardia? Yeah,
fly over the same cemetery as the Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, I think that might be it. I don't remember. I remember I once had a shiur in Riverdale about this topic, and one of the guys said, yeah, so what's the heter to fly out of, I forgot which airport? I don't know. Okay. So what is the heter to fly over cemetery? So Rav Schechter in his Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon, he has the piece that he thinks, again, the nature of the Isser, this is what we mentioned last time we learned, the nature of the Isser Tumas Kohanim is Krev Ola Mace, as opposed to being Tumas Mace, So it could be if I'm not close to the mace, if I'm very far away, even though I'm taka tamei, but I'm not close to the mace, it could be I'm not going to be all over on the iser of tumas kohanim. So Rav Schechter suggests, he's not sure exactly what the shear, but perhaps if I'm above the clouds, right, so then flying over a cemetery is not a problem, because it's not considered krev lemeis. It doesn't completely help us, because often these cemeteries are located right near the airport, so right when you take off, right when you land, which is at the point that you are not above the clouds, but it's something to work with. I believe the Tshuvas Chalkas Yaakov, Rav Breish, has a whole discussion about this. It's written to Rav Mordechai Gifter, Zichron Lefracha. Rav Gifter used to sometimes like to stir up controversy, so he sent shailas to different Gedolei Yisrael. So one of the shailas he sent was about flying over Batei Kvaros. This is a discussion. Now, the other shaila that comes up though with the airplane is the shaila of often airplanes carry bodies. Airplanes carry bodies. So that situation is much worse, because then you are in the same ohel as a mace. Now, it's not going to help, Rabbi Kondik pointed out this year, that you can't just call up the airliner and say, do you have any dead bodies going on flight 16? Because Vachara, they were going to say, oh, of course not, of course not, of course not. And he told the story, I think it was about one of the Rebbeim in Gush, who happens to be a Kohen, who was flying, and as he's in the airport, he sees somebody there, and he was flying this foreign airline, he's flying, I think, Jordanian Air or something, and he sees somebody there, and the guy, you know, has Tor Kri, and he says, why are you going? He goes, oh, I'm taking my relative for Kvura. Oh, where's your same plane? So he called Rabbi Willick right away, and he said, like, what's going on here? Right? And Rabbi Willick said, you can't take the flight. Right? And that's a very serious shaila. Now today, what often is done is that they package the mesim in a way that the mace is in a separate ohel on its own. What about ohel zarek? You still have the shaila of ohel zarek, but in this shaila, right, it could be, again, we have those rishonim, the ohel zarek. First of all, there's a Rashba who passes the ohel zarek, a shmei ohel, and we also spoke about that ohel zarek might be only if it's completely minofeif. Right? In this case, you're not mamish flying, you are not flying, right? The box that the mace is in is down. It's not in the air. The whole thing is in the air, but the box the mace is in, so it could be that's going to be better. There are some poskim who recommend, who are worried about that, because what you have is that you're in the same airplane as the mace, and if I hold Zarek, lo shmei ohel, so mamela you are mamanushach. If it's shmei ohel, you're in the same ohel as it. If it's lo shmei ohel, so then you and the mace might, all the tumah might spread where you are, because it could still be maybe a satumah. So it's a complicated question. It's a complicated question. All the stories that we mentioned earlier about Dovar Mekabel Tumah with aluminum, with right, these all might help, but it's not a Pashuk Shaila. They try to package the mace in a way to reduce the Shaila today, but it still is not so simple. If someone's a Kohen who wants to fly to Eretz Yisrael, the person who knows everything is this Rabbi Mandel. He's the person who like packages the mason to send the entire sister, so he's the guy to contact. Okay, any questions about Rabbi Konigsberg's share?
He mentioned in the share something about it being in a sort of box that would somehow avoid all these problems.
Right, so that's what I was discussing, that you put the mason in a special box, so whatever tumah is there is contained in that one box, and you're not in that box with the mace. The
what
question
is that box made out of?
That box is made of not Mekabel Tumah materials. The question is, does this really help? Because if you assume that Ohel Zarek Losh may Ohel, and you hold that that box is also an Ohel Zarek, so you're still up the creek. It's not so pashut. Okay. He didn't. The heter basically is that the people know what they're doing, box the. The people know what they're doing. They box the mace properly. That's the heter. But you're still relying on kulas. Okay, let's talk about Rabbi Sabolowski's shir about mikvaos. L'chayra, mikvah should be the easiest thing to do to build in the world, no? Torah says, how do you build a mikvah? Ach mayon ubar mikveh mayon yatahar. A mayon is a spring that's flowing. Bar mikveh mayon is a pit that contains water. right? So you dig a pit, not so hard, right? My son tries to do it all the time, and water falls in. Bar mikvayim shoyin gevaldik. You need a certain amount of water. You need water that can be mechasa gufo shel adam, which is amal amal brum gimel amos, which shiru chachamim is harbonim sa'ah. Okay, so you need 40 sa'ah of water, but lamaisa shouldn't be so hard. The problem is that people don't like going to mikvah in very dirty water. And if you just have a pit and you have water in it, so it's going to be very, very, very dirty. Okay. Now, what you could do, l'chora, is you could, well, make it not so dirty. You could put some tiles in. And then how do you fill it up? How do you fill it up? So again, you wait till it rains, you get 40 sa'ah. Yeah, that's not always so practical. Sometimes the year doesn't rain. So I have an eitzah. Maybe I should take the mehoir, take a hose, and take water right from the faucet, turn it on, right, and fill it up. What's the problem? So there was a great goyin, and a gadol, and a tzaddik. Now, I'm not the person who's calling him a tzaddik. Rav Kook, Zecharo Livracha, called him a tzaddik. And if Rav Kook calls you a tzaddik, so that's pretty good. I think his name is Rav David Miller. He was the Rav in Oakland in the 1920s. He wrote a book called, I should have brought it in tonight. I have it at home. It's a great book. He has these pictures about where you could put a mikvah in your house so that your kids will be able to not know it's a mikvah. And he has like these, you know the way like people sometimes like disguise their TV sets? There's like this disguise things for the mikvah. So you can have a mikvah in the living room. It's really, it's an amazing thing. He discusses how you can make a mikvah for less than $5. And he also points out that his eitzes to build mikvaos involves all the kulos, and unfortunately there was a goyin be Yisrael who was very machmir in binyan mikvaos named the Aruch HaShulchan. Usually you don't think of the Aruch HaShulchan as being the big machmir, but Aruch HaShulchan is wasting Jews' money. This is Reb David Miller in his Sefer, The Sanctity of the Jew. Now, Reb David Miller says that Mei Ha'ir, he had two kulas. One kula was about the size of a mikvah, right, which he wanted to reduce to a standard bathtub size against the Aruch HaShulchan. His other kula is that Mei Ha'ir, which is our regular plumbing systems, are not Mayim She'uvim. If he is right, a mikvah is very easy to build, right? So let's say he's wrong about the shear, so you have a bigger bathtub, right, Nishkeferlach. You have a bigger bathtub and you fill it up with water, no problem. But generally, we assume that Mei Ha'ir is Mayim She'uvim, and the reason is because of the water meter. The water that goes through the pipes, that's not a problem. The pipes are not Mekabel Tuma, and the pipes are made to be Mechuber LaKarka. That's all going to be okay. That is going to not create She'uvim. But the water meter goes through that meter, and it tells you how much water there is. That is potentially what creates the problem of She'uvim. Therefore, Reb David Miller was wrong. Reb Kook called him a tzaddik. Fine. It's interesting that Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, had a different time than Reb David Miller. If you look in the Haskama that Reb, what's his name, The Making of a Gadol? Reb Nosson Kamenetsky. Reb Nosson Kamenetsky wrote a Haskama on Yitzchak Frank's dictionary. Okay, this is an important bit of the keys. So in Reb Nosson Kamenetsky's Haskama on Yitzchak Frank's dictionary, he points out that's very, very important to know dikduk well. Why? Because if you don't know dikduk well, you can make mistakes la halacha. For example, there was a great tzaddik who, because he wanted to be mekal on b'nais Yisrael, being able to go to the mikvah, wanted to come with all these coolers, but his shear was just a little bit too small because he didn't live in his zachar in the keva, and whether we're talking about an etzba or a tefach, shoo, boom, it's over. This is what Reb Nosson Kamenetsky points out, that he quoted from his father, Reb Yaakov. Reb Yaakov was very into dikduk. He points out that was Reb David Miller's mistake. He doesn't quote him by name, but I'm telling you that it's Reb David Miller. Fine. So what do you do? So we can't just dig a pit. So what do we do to make a mikvah? So basically what we do is we dig a pit, a plain pit, and it fills up with rainwater. But then we have another pit next to it where we make a hole connecting these two pits. The other pit we fill up with Mei Ha'ir, which wouldn't be kosher, but that hole, which is Kishvay Feres Hanud, which is two etzba'os going around, that hole is going to be machsher the Mei Ha'ir, and then you can go to the mikveh in the Mei Ha'ir, because you have this hole. No problem. Now, there is one question that comes up, which is, does that hole have to be open, or can the hole be closed? Most Rishonim, 97.3% of Rishonim, assume it's okay that the hole is open at one time, and then you close the hole after, so you could go to the mikveh, no problem. However, there are Rishonim who are worried that the hole has to be open. The Shachin, Simin, Reish Aleph, which is Simin the Mikvos, Sifkut and Kuf Yud Beis, quotes from Rabbeinu Yeruchim. The Rabbeinu Yeruchim says that the hole has to be open. Now, if the hole has to be open, so there's a few issues. First of all, you don't want to leave a hole open the whole time, because then the water is going to transfer back and forth, and the mikveh water, the real mikveh water, which is kind of dirty, it's been there for a few years, is going to get into your good water. So you want to leave the hole closed when people aren't using the mikveh. So, first of all, if you're always opening and closing the hole, you run into problems of human error. Moreover, there's a potentially bigger problem, which is if the water in the Mei Ha'ir hole, which we call the Bar Tevila, if the water over there never gets to the neck of Hashaka, then you're gone. Because in order to be machshir this water, it has to touch the neck of Hashaka. In Lumdis, this machlekes between all the Rishonim and the Rabbeinu Yeruchim about whether you need Hashaka Tmidus or not, whether the hole has to be open the whole time, or whether you can just open it one time, right? That machlekes in Rabbeinu Yeruchim and the Rush and the Rashba and everybody else, machlekes should depend on what's the lumdus of Hashaka. Is the Pshat and Hashaka that's a morid the psal of She'uvim? Right, so that means the water is kosher. Or maybe Hashaka is not morid the psal of She'uvim. Hashaka is a din in Chibur Mikvais. Right, this is She'uvim still, but it's mechubur now to kosher water, so it becomes ancillary, it comes secondary to the kosher water, and therefore it's okay to be toivol in it. But it still remains potential She'uvim. That's a very big discussion in the poskim. So that's one way. That's one way of looking, of being mafshir mikvah, you do hashaka. The other way to be mafshir mikvah, which is what the Chsam Sofer says is the world's greatest mikvah, ain lecha mikvah gedola mizu, is called Zriya. What Zriya is that the Mishnayos actually talk about a case like this. I have 40 sa of kosher water, and then I pour my treif water, my she'uvim, into it, and it overflows, it spills over. Let's say I have my higher area, let's say, is my kosher water. I pour Mei Ha'ir into it. It will spill over and go down into the Bar Tevila. That's called Zriya. Now, the advantage of Zriya, obviously, is that you don't have to worry about the Hashaka hole being open the whole time. But there's a potential problem. The potential problem is what we call Nasan Sa'ah and Natal Sa'ah, which means to say that originally I have 40 sa'ah of kosher water, right? Then I pour in Mei Ha'ir. Now, anyone who knows, Rabbi Shulman actually has in his Sefer Binyanav, he tries to figure this out, the calculus, the amount of fluctuation, the amount of change. So you pour the water in, right? So now I don't have 40 sa'ah of kosher water anymore. Let's say I have 38 sa'ah of kosher water and two sa'ah of treif water. Well, that's still going to be okay, because ad roiv is for sure okay. But there's going to come some time after doing this 10, 12 times that I'm going to end up with a problem, because roiv of my water won't be the original kosher water. So then what happens? Then I'm in trouble. So that is why some people don't like Zriya on its own. Now, the Chsam Sofer and the Chazon Ish felt that we do a mikvah based on Zriya on its own, because they say, listen, the Rambam and the Ravid, who are Machmer in this Shaila of Natal Sa'ah, of Nasan Sa'ah, of Natal Sa'ah, they are the minority opinion. And we don't really paskin like the Rambam and the Ravid. The Chazon Ish said that this is the way you should build a mikvah. The Chazon Ish had his mikvah campaign. He went to all the different kibbutzim in Eretz Yisrael, and he built mikvah ois just with Zriya, nothing else. Why didn't he use Hashaka? So there's a written reason and an unwritten reason. The written reason is he didn't use Hashaka because... What? What's the big deal? Right? Well, that's a big deal. He's worried that's going to be dirty, and if one woman won't want to go to the mikvah, Hashukah could be dirtier than Zriya. One woman won't want to go to the mikvah, forget it. The whole thing is gone. The unwritten reason is he was worried also about the cleanliness of the mikvah, but he's worried that the Misrat HaBriyot will close down all the mikvahs. Now, what we do today is we try to build mikvahs both with Hashukah and Zriya, which means that we have two different boros. We have a bar Zriya and a bar Hashukah. In Rabbi Sabalowski's packet, you can see and a bar Tevila, which is filled up with Mei Ha'ir. So we have two different regular mikvah bars, right? And the bar Tevila. If you look in Rabbi Sabalowski's mikvah packet, you'll see the standard mikvah, what a mikvah looks like. Now, there are other ways of solving this issue. The other ways of solving this issue is that you do a bar hashukah that's a split bar hashukah. Instead of having 40 sa'a of water in there, you have 80 sa'a of water. And you have the neck of hashukah between the top 40 sa'a and the bar tevila. So the bottom 40 sa'a, it's going to remain in its place. So even if the water from the top thing, remember, and Hashukah also should be this concern of Nasan Sa'av and Natal Sa'av, right? But even if the top thing switches, but the water that's all the way at the bottom won't switch because gravity will keep it in its place. So therefore, that's going to remain okay. That is the split bar, Hashukah, which is used Kimat standard. They have a piece of plexiglass in the middle, another Nekev, fine. The Lubavitchers go a step further. The standard Chabad mikveh, which it was instituted by the Rebbe Rashab, is very simple. They don't do Zriya at all. They only have Hashukah, but they only have Hashukah at the bottom. So they dig down very, very deep. Dig down very deep. They make a bar Hashukah. They make a, right, kosher water. They fill it up. They put a piece of plexiglass on top with a nekev in it. Then on top of that, they fill up the Mei Ha'ir, and they go and tell you, and you have the kosher water underneath. Hey, gevaldik, no problem. The only possible problem is the Divrei Chaim is rumored to say that such a mikveh is pasul me'ikar hadin, based on his understanding of the Gemara in Gittin about nitzayk not being chibur. Nitzayk means if I have two things, one on top, one on the bottom, there's a flow of water trying to connect them, so the Gemara in Gittin says nitzayk is not chibur. So the Divrei Chaim says in this case it can't be mechubar because the word on the top and the word on the bottom, right? There's no chibur between them. It's nisok, one on top, one on the bottom. That's a shaila. Is the Divrei Chaim right? L'chayra, he's not right. L'chayra, dim nisok ain't no chibur. If I have some flowing water, if I have moving water from the top to the bottom, it tries to be mechaber these two things. That's not chibur. But if the water is stationary, it's going to be okay. No safakach. Many poskim assume that ivre, even the Divrei Chaim is only referring to a type of mikvah that the top and the bottom are connected by a pipe. But if they're connected by a plain hole that doesn't have a pipe, so even according to the Divrei Chaim, it should be okay. So that's a standard Chabad mikvah. It's another way of solving this issue. What?
I don't think you mentioned that point.
Okay. Oh, could be it didn't. Come in. Okay, so let's just continue. There is another thing that we do by mikvahs. Again, by mikvahs, we have a long mesorah that we try to be yotze all the shittas. So one of the things that we do by mikvahs in order to be yotze all the shittas is we do hamshacha. Hamshacha means that we do not pour the water in directly. We have the water go and flow a teeny bit before it goes into the bar tevila. Why do we do this? First of all, there's a discussion about mikvah shehim shichu hakula, whether it's going to be kosher, mayim she'uvim, could be huchshar al yedei hamshacha. Question is whether this helps for roiv or for kol. It's a discussion in the Gemara. So we do hamshacha. Now there is a discussion about do you need hamshacha gimel tvachim, or is hamshacha kol shehu enough? The pashtus is the hamshacha of kol shehu removes a problem called tfisas yedei adam. In addition to the din of she'uvim, which for Pashtus is derabbanan, there's a din to oraisa by mikvahs, that anything that has human involvement in it might be a problem in hatayra. So human involvement is only if it goes in directly mikoach adam. If it goes mikoach adam and it hits a kol shehu somewhere else, so it's not coming mikochi directly, So that is going to be a problem. Hamshach of Gimel Tfachim is based on some funny sort of applications of Lavud. So that's one shot of a Hamshach of Gimel Tfachim, or Hamshach of Koshehu. Then there's another shayla about what do you need to be mamshech on. It's clear that you can't be mamshech agabe kalim, right? You have to be mamshech agabe karka. The shayla is, do you need just karka? Do you need karka haro'oi livloa? Do you need dirt or do you need concrete? Right now, if I assume that you need karka haro'oi livloa, I need dirt. So I'm back to my same problem. Because you're not going to want to build a mikveh by pouring all the water onto some dirt, because then the mikveh is still going to be dirty. So Reb Velvel has a famous idea that Reb Velvel says that even if you hold of Hamshacha Gimel Tfachim, but you only need a koshehu of the afar. Right? Reb Velvel would say these two shilohs are totally zebezeh, you had a whole fancy mahalach, and that's what's often done, that you have Hamshacha of koshehu on afar, but it's Hamshacha of Gimel Tfachim. Today, the person who builds mikvaos, this Rav Klein, who's Mamish Torah Madaman, so Rav Klein can tell you different grades of cement. Some grades of cement really are very absorbent. So therefore, it's considered that it's Hamshacha al Gabe Karka Roy Levloa, even though it's not dirt, it's concrete. But it still is considered Roy Levloa because it's a very absorbent type of concrete. The next issue that comes up in a mikvah is, again, the psul of if it goes through a kli, through a base kibble. If there is a hole in the pipe, it could potentially be a base kibble. It's a discussion we've shown him about a hole that's not some A-love, etc. But any hole in the thing, we are worried that that becomes a base kibble, certainly if you intend for the hole to be there. Rabbi Sobolovsky mentioned they're building the mikvah in Paramus, so he didn't even have a hasaga, what would be considered a base kibble. Rav Klein went up to the roof with him, and they saw that the screws that they used to screw in the gutters had a little hole in it, right? What's it called? The screw thing, right? Where you, right? So that itself could be a base kibble. So he said with Rabbi Sobolovsky putting silly putty into the top of these screws to make sure there's no base kibble. Fine. The next din by Mekfais, which again, the Pashtus is a Deoraisa, is a din of Zochalim, Zechila. Right? A mikvah is metaher be'eshborin. Mikvah is only metaher if the water is in the shever shebekarka. If it's in the ground, straight, in the crack in the ground, then the mikvah is metaher. But if it's Zochalim, if the water is flowing, then it's not going to be metaher. A ma'ayon, a spring is metaher b'zayich, when the mikvah is only metaher ba'ashborin. Now, shaila is, what about rivers? What about rivers? Right? Rivers flow. It's not stationary water. So can you be toiv on the river? Do I treat a river like it's a ma'ayan, like it's a spring? They treat it like it's a mikvah. It's a machlokis in the Gemara B'choros, in the Gemara Nedarim and Afmem. The Gemara discusses, do I assume that sahada b'ma'arava, that when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, so automatically the Euphrates River gets bigger, right? Or do I say that no, right, that the water is not coming from the rain, because any tefach that comes down, two tefachayim come from the bottom. So the rivers are primarily from a spring. This is a big machlokes in the Rishonim, how do we paskin in that sugya? Rabbi Tam paskin that you can be tovo in rivers. Most Rishonim disagree with Rabbi Tam. The Ramah paskins like the Rabbi Tam. B'shas apchach gadol, you could go and be tovo in a river. Apparently, the time of the Rishonim, one of the shidduch questions was: Does her mother go to the mikveh in the river in a regular mikveh? Fine. Now, going to the mikveh in a lake. I actually got this shayla recently. This summer, a couple called me on the phone. They had a shayla. They were up in Lake Champlain, and the wife had to go to the mikvah. So what should I do? So what should they do? That was the shayla. So I get very nervous, Lake Champlain. I don't know. Going to mikvah and lakes, what's the concern with a lake? First of all, there's an issue of chatzitza, right? That if it's just on the beach sort of area, so you're worried that there's going to be some dirt on you when you go into the mikvah. Second of all, if it's a very dark area, you're aware that you might not be toivelas properly. Right? These are serious concerns. You probably shouldn't go to the mikveh in lakes unless it's absolutely necessary. Rabbi Simon actually gave me the number of this big of this big posik on Mikvay, so I spoke to him and I called him. I said that I have this couple, they're up in Lake Champlain. So he goes, which resort in Lake Champlain? Which place? Mamish knew Al Kutso, she knew everything. It's good about it. Okay, so Yamim, you shouldn't go to the Mikvah in Yamim because of outside chashashos. Filters. Mikvahs today ought to have filters because it keeps the water cleaner. If the filter is on, the water is actually flowing. Is that a concern of Zechila? By a mikveh member has to only be Ashborin. It can't be flowing water. Is that a concern of Zechila? So the Rivash is quoted by the Poskim as saying that it's only part of Zechila if it flows outward. Right? It goes out and keeps on going out. But if it goes out and comes back in, that's not considered Zechila. That's what the Rivash says. The Rush actually seems to have a different answer to the kashas that the Rav Rush is dealing with. Rabbi Tani Cohen always used to say with this Rush that no, Zechila means a big flow. If you just have a teeny bit of water going through, that's not a Zechila. Okay, so that's a discussion.
So according to him, a crack in the mikveh wouldn't be a problem.
Huh? So a crack in the mikveh wouldn't be a problem, right? The Chayra, crack in the mikveh, according to the Rush for sure, is not a problem. We're machmiring cracks in the mikveh. We're machmir, even the Vilna Gaon apparently is machmir in Zechila she'en in Nikeres. But Pashtus means that I look at it and I don't see any water going down. If I would make a mark on the mikvah and then I'd come back 3 weeks later and I'd see the water level be a little bit lower, that's like a Zechila She'en Nikeres. The Shaila is what the amount of time it is to be concerned.
Evaporation.
What?
Evaporation.
Yeah, we don't. This is.
And the line would go down also then.
The line would not go down for evaporation. Water goes down, the ink wouldn't go down. The Shaila is how much time you do this. This is one of the big discussions in Poskim. About how long, if you make the mark, what's considered Zechila Nikeres, what's considered Zechila She'en Nikeres. We don't hold like this Rush. That's an interesting data. So filters are a concern of Zechila. So L'chora, it flows, but it comes back in. So it wouldn't be Zechila. L'maisa, Reb Moshe's Mekel, and going to the mikvah when the filter is on. Most mikvahs have all these elaborate systems. They don't want you to go to the mikvah when the filter is on. There are lights, and mamash becomes like a disco if you try to go in there when the filter is on. Rabbi Sobolovsky tells women that if they went to the mikvah and the filter was on by mistake, so go again without a bracha because of this Moshe. Now, the issue that comes up in terms of building mikvahs in places where there's no water, what do you do? So we use ice. We assume that ice is not going to have a din of she'uvim. There's one day in Mishayim that if I put ice in the keli, it does become she'uvim, even though right now it's not water. But we're not concerned with that Bahamar. In fact, Rav Zevin in his Sefer L'Ar Halacha has a whole essay about Shelag. So this is one of the pieces that he discusses. Whether a Shelag is Mekabel Tumah. It's not Mekabel Tumah. We're making a mikveh out of shell egg. So what we generally do in communities that you don't have rain is that you take a truck. Today it's much easier with refrigerated trucks. You take a truck and you fill it up with lots of snow in the mountains. You make sure that you don't put it in an area that's mekabel tumah and that none of it melts. It has to be a refrigerated truck. Because she'uvim in the keli is not a problem, but if it begins to melt, then you have water. Water in the keli is a problem. So you have to make sure it doesn't melt at all when it's in the truck. So you keep the truck very, very cold, and you drive down. This is how they built a mikveh, I believe, in San Jose. Right? This is one of the approaches to building mikvehs. Okay, so are there any things that we missed in Rabbi Sabolovsky's shir about mikvehs?
Chazer, the point again about hamshacha and like if it's a little bit wet on the bottom, why that's like a very big deal.
So hamshacha basically is that we don't put the water in directly, but yeah, because we solve extra problems that way. There is a concern that if I have mayim she'uvim, gimel lugin she'uvim betchila passes the whole mikvah. Teeny bit of mayim she'uvim at the beginning of the mikvah makes the whole mikvah not good. So that's really what we're worried about, and that's why we're doing everything on Yidei HaMashacha. Just in case, right? You're still going to have what to rely on. Now, Rabbi Neuberger gave a shir about Lifnei Iver. Let's try to go through the shir very quickly. The main chakir that the Acharonim have about Lifnei Iver, which is usually discussed in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Dalet, is if I violate Lifnei Iver, let's say I give, right, the case in the Gemara is a moshit evim in a chayta ben Noach or kos yayin to a nazir. So I violate the din of lifnei iver. Does the pshat in lifnei iver, does lifnei iver mean that I am getting a chelak of your aveira, that when the nazir drinks the wine, so I get a chelak of his aveira? Or is the pshat in lifnei iver that it's a different iser, it's not a chelak of the aveira that you get? There's a number of nafkaminas. First of all, there's the famous Yad Malachi. I don't think Rabbi Neuberger mentioned this, but the Yad Malachi says, what happens if I moshet Eivar Menachai to Ben Noach, and the Ben Noach doesn't eat the Eivar Menachai? Is that still lifnei iver? Right, that should be totally in this chakira. Okay, is it a chelak of the aveira or not? One of the issues that should be totally in this as well, which Rabbi Neuberger did mention, is there lifnei iver on a drabanon? No? Do I violate lifnei iver min ha-Torah when I am moshet and Issa Drabbanon to you? I give you some Gvinas Akum. Right? Issa Drabbanon. Is that lifnei iver min ha-Torah? If the pshat is I get a chelak of Yarveira, so it's only an Issa Drabbanon. You're doing an Issa Drabbanon, I get an Issa Drabbanon. If the pshat in lifnei iver is that fundamentally it's as if I'm giving you bad advice, it's like I'm giving you an Eitza Ra'ah, so even if my bad advice to you is on the level of Drabbanon, then I could violate lifnei iver on the level of a Do'iraisa. That's the next chakira. That's the next point that should be relevant to this chakira. The other issue that we'll talk about at length in a few minutes is the question of, can I make cheshbonos in lifnei iver? Can I say, listen, I'm being moishet an aveira to you right now, but lebasof, because you're doing this little aveira, so it's going to end up being much better for you. Right, this is the famous Shaila in Kiruv situations that we'll talk about. Can I invite someone to my house knowing that the person is going to drive on Shabbos? Right, the person is not observant. Not observant, as the Kiruv people would say, yet. Right? So, the Maizah, by having him come to my house, am I being machshel him in an Aveira? Yeah, I'm giving him an Aveira. Right? But is it really a michshol? Is it really something that's bad for him, or not? Because by coming to my house for Shabbos and meeting my beautiful kids, right, so he will be interested in becoming frum, because, hey, my kids are amazing, right? Or, like, the Shabbos ambiance is going to be makar of him. So it's not really a michshol. So that's a big discussion in the post. Can I make cheshbonos? If the pshat lifnei iver is I get a chelak of your aveira, so it could be, I have no right to get a chelak of the aveira. I'm doing a small aveira over here. It's a shtickle chelo Shabbos on my part. Really, pshat lifnei iver is I'm giving you an eitz ra'ah. I'm doing something that's bad for you. This isn't bad for you. Adirabba, this is good for you. It's not a michshol at all. Fine. So let's talk about lifnei iver. And break it down into four categories. Rabbi Neuberger began that there's lifnei iver min ha-Torah, there's lifnei iver midrabanan, and then there's one case that's worse than lifnei iver, and one case that's better than lifnei iver. So what's lifnei iver min ha-Torah? The Gemara says that lifnei iver min ha-Torah requires trei aver de nahara, both sides of the river. The nazir who wants the yayin is on the side of the river that he has no access to wine. The only way he could get wine is if I supply him with wine. So the kahai gavna, that's lifnei iver min ha-Torah. Lifnei iver midrabanan is chad aver d'nahara. We're both on the same side of the river. So the nazir could get wine if he wants. I'm making it easier for him. I'm facilitating him. But I'm not being mashram in the sense I'm not making it possible for him to do that aveira. So is that also going to be aser? That we assume is no worse than that's what we call misayeya yidei over aveira. That's an Issa Drabanan. That's Lifnei Iver Midrabanan. Okay? Chad Avdenahara is Midrabanan. Trei Avdenahara is Min HaTorah. This is true according to almost all the Rishonim. The Rambam is a notable exception. The Rambam never once in Yad HaChazaka distinguishes between Chad Avdenahara and Trei Avdenahara. The Rambam writes, I'm not allowed to buy stolen goods because it's Lifnei Iver. What do you mean? That's Lechor Chad Avdenahara. Apparently, for the Rambam, Chad Avnar and Trei Avnahara doesn't matter at all. What's most interesting, and none of the place can really point this out, is the Mechaber is Mitzatet the Lashon HaRambam straight, like he always does in Shulchan Aruch. So that means that according to Sfaradim, L'chora, we have a tremendous, tremendous Chumra, that even Chad Avnahara is the Issa D'Oraisa of Lifnei Iver. What's the Pshat? The Pshat, Rabbi Neuberger said, And Rav Nachum Rabinowitz actually has this in his Sefer Hadari Tamar, which is his book of Hadronim on Shas, and he also has it in an article in Tchumen. Rabbi Neuberger pointed out that the Rambam L'chora says that the entire basis of Lifnei Iver is based on Meisi Eitzara, I'm giving bad advice. So, if I'm giving bad advice, it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter at all. Is it Charab Na'atrei Abdenarvel? Lamaisa, I'm giving you bad advice. Lamaisa, I'm getting you involved in some Isser. That's bad advice. Isser Dairaisa. Shikshan. Right? That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. Now, what's the case that Rabbi Neuberger mentioned that's worse than Lifnei Iver? This is an amazing shuva in Igris Moshe. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in Chelek Orechayim Simen Sadi Tes points out.
Which Chelek?
Chelek Orechayim Aleph Simen Sadi Tes. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein points out that there is one situation, right? Let's talk about that case before. Inviting people to your house for Shabbos. Or inviting people to come and daven in your shul. You're a rabbi in Pordunk. You want people to come and daven in your shul. They live very far away. You know the only way they could possibly come is if they drive. Rav Moshe says that that case is not Lifnei Iver. That case is Mesis. Mesis. Usually we think of Mesis that I incite you to do Avodah Zarah. Zot Rav Moshe, yeah, but if you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Tes, you'll see that the Gemara says that ain't one in Lemesis. Right? The Nachash really hadn't. The Nachash could have gotten out of the town. He could have said, "Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomen." Who's Chava supposed to listen to? Right? Me or God? Right? But ain't one of Lamesis. Because the Nachash didn't present this Taina on his own, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was acting as the Bezdin, won't produce the Taina for the Nachash. Now, the amazing thing over there is, what's the Aver that the Nachash was trying to get Chava to do? Was it Avodah Zarah? No. L'chore not, right? The Aver the Nachash is trying to get Chava to do is an Aver. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't eat. Nachash wants Chava to eat. And even so, it's called a Mesis. Zokt Reb Moshe, you see from here that there's a din of Mesis even on stuff that's not Avodah Zarah. Wow. A Kiddush. That's the way the Yad Ramah understands like a modern Sanhedrin. Rashi seems to disagree. Rashi says, no! The Nachash was really a case of Avodah Zarah. The Magoyas Hayam. The Rufer Magoyas points this out in his Sefer on Sanhedrin. Rashi says that the Nachash is involved in Avodah Zarah. Because what does the Pasuk say? V'yisem ke'lokim yod e tovara. Right? Now there's some aspect of trying to be Oved Avodah Zarah. Or trying not to listen to God. Trying to disagree with God. Becoming like God. Oh, that? Avodah Zarah? That's classical Mesis. So if Moshe Feinstein has this Chiddush that I can't invite someone to my shul if I know for sure he's going to drive, because that is Mesis. If it's a situation the guy may drive or may not drive, it's possible he will, it's possible he won't, that's regular Lifnei Iver. Even if it's likely that he will. But if it's for sure that the guy's going to drive, Zokter Moshe, that is Mesis. Well, big Chiddush. Okay, so that's the third category. The fourth category within Lifnei Iver is the category that is Heter Gomor, which means I'm allowed to do stuff on my own, in my own home, and if others suffer, Zolzain, let them suffer. Moshe actually points this out in the Tshuva. Now, Karkacha, there has to be certain things that even though I'm being Machriyu in an Aveira, but it's not really attributable to me. I'm doing my own thing. Halitola Rosh HaVeYamos, no? If someone's going to steal from me, right, and he's going to end up stealing the payrolls of Arla, right? We'll talk about that in a second, the payrolls of Arla. So, I'm allowed to let him do it. I don't have a chiyuv to go, right, and to be pulled in my revai, to make sure that he doesn't do the Isra. I'll tell the Rosh HaVeYamos. When Moshe writes in the Tshuva, I'm allowed to teach Torah on the radio. I'm teaching to Jews who are going to tune in. If a guy happens to tune in, I'm not doing an Aveira. Because a guy happens to tune in, what's the big deal? Right? What's the big deal? Right? You see from Alitiyah and Rosh HaVeYamos that there are certain things that are going to be permitted because I'm doing it on my own. This is, of course, the article that Rabbi Bleich has in the most recent issue of Tradition about whether you're allowed to, right, the kid in school who his friends, in quotes, were stealing his sandwich every day and he was going home hungry, so he decided to poison his sandwich. Is that permitted? Right? Is that permitted? That's a more complicated. How we tell Rosh HaVeYamos, yeah, really die. No case in Shasta, the guy dies. Right? I tell Yamos and Chas, Yamos means I will get an Avera to kill the guy. Shvera Matzah, right? The Pashtus is that there's no hetera. I don't want to hear anybody saying that they poisoned their own sandwich. The Chora is not permitted. You could read Rabbi Blake's article. Fine. So that is the four categories of Lifnei Iver. Now, what are the kulos of Lifnei Iver? The kulos. So the first kulo of Lifnei Iver is what we call Lifnei to Lifnei. The Rush says this only applies to Goyim, not to Jews. What is Lifnei to Lifnei? So I'll give you a case that comes up in Evan Ha'ezer Simon Hay. We know that there is an Isser of Sirus, right? Sirus means that for a behemoth I can't neuter or spay on an animal, right? It's an Isser. An Isser of Sirus. A Goyim Mitzuvan Sirus or not? It's a big question in the postgame. What do you do? There's veterinary medicine la halacha. What do you do? Right? If you have a dog, you want to neuter it, what do you do? So there's a discussion in postgame, are you allowed to sell your dog to the guy and the guy will neuter it? That's the shayla. If you hold that goyim themselves are usher and serious, obviously that won't help. But if goyim are mutter and serious, then maybe it will help. But the Ramah paskins, that for sure it's mutter if I sell my dog to one guy and that guy will sell it to another guy who will do the neutering, that for sure is going to be okay. There's a big discussion, the Achrayim, what about if you're not selling it, if you're renting it, if you intend on getting it back, etc. What's the heter in that case? I give it to one guy, and that guy will give it to a second guy. What's the heter? Heter is lifnei to lifnei. The isser of lifnei iver is only if I'm the direct facilitator. But if I facilitate you, and he facilitates, and that person who I facilitate, you facilitate someone else, lifnei to lifnei is mutter. That's the heter.
But if the guy, it's also for a guy to do it.
If it's also for a guy to do it, so then l'chayre you don't get anything. But we're meiko, we say that azoyvait, you don't have to worry. It's 2 days in the Ramah about whether I'm allowed to sell my animal to the guy and the guy's going to neuter it. But to sell to one guy and that guy's going to sell to another guy, that we're going to be meiko on. Right? That's so far removed that for sure we're going to be meiko. You don't have to worry about it. The shayla is, what about if you know for sure it's going to happen? That's exactly the setup that you want to do. Someone told me the Touro College, apparently. I maybe shouldn't speak about this one. But. So, that's a Shaila. Are you allowed? So, Lifnei to Lifnei, we paskin is going to be mutter. Even if you know for sure that the guy is going to neuter it later on. The Vilna Gaon would be machmer in that case. The guy is quoted in the bottom of the Gemara Daf Yudal in the Avodah Zarah, that we can't be make on Lifnei to Lifnei if you know for sure it's going to happen. The only heter of Lifnei to Lifnei is that it may or may not happen. Rashi and Tosfos seem to have a different hagdar of Lifnei to Lifnei than the Gra has. It might be machlokes between Rashi and the Ritvan Daf Yudal itself. There's a lot of lumdas here. Fine. A similar kula to Lifnei, to this din of Lifnei to Lifnei, is the kula that the Mishnah in Shviya says. It's only Lifnei Iver if I give you something that you will use for Iser, something that's miyuchad for Iser. But something that is le iser ula heter that could be used for iser or mutter. For example, the Mishnah Shviya says a magal yad, a hand sickle, right? On Shemitah, it's not usher to cut down all fruits. It's usher to cut fruits down the way Kaitzrim cut it down on the mass scale. A hand sickle, I could use a le iser or le heter. What's it then? Mishnah says it's mutter. The hesber of this seems to be Reb Moshe has this about a tshuva in the catering. This is Simen Ayin Beis. And Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Mincha Shlomo Simen Lamed Hei also has the same type of idea. That Reb Moshe Shai with catering is, am I allowed to have a catering business that I rent a hall? Either going to go mixed dancing? Is that Lifnei Iver? Interesting, right? So Reb Moshe says, first of all, it's only Chad Avad Nahara. It's only in the Sidra Abonon. Second of all, Reb Moshe says, this is Lifnei Iver, so I give you something that's primarily used for an Isser. A catering call is primarily used for catering. The mixed dancing is secondary. Reb Shlomo Zalman has a stronger nosach. He says that, right, brisker terms, the Isser of Lifnei Iver, so I give you a chafts of Isser. Right? If I give you something that's not a chafts of Isser, it's going to be not Lifnei Iver. Therefore, Reb Shlomo Zalman discusses, what about Tevilas Kalim, no? Am I allowed to give someone the Kele that wasn't getoivled? That's a question. Is tefilas kelim, is it an iser chafza that the keli is usher to use before tefilah? Is it just that there's a mitzvah in the gavra to be tefilah the kelim? That's what Shlomo Zalman deals with. It's also in Siman Lamed Beis in the Tshuva Mincha Shlomo. Now, that's another aspect of Lifnei Ivar. So we have two kulas which are very similar. Lifnei de Lifnei, right? That kula hailo chayshinan, you don't have to worry so much, it's so far removed. And we also have the kula of something that might not be a cheftza of Isser, that could be, it's permitted. Along these lines, there's a third kula. You see, it says in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch that I'm not allowed to give food to somebody who won't make a bracha, who won't wash his hands and make a bracha. That's what the Ramah paskens in the Rechayim. Comes along with Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Shlomo Zalman says, let's say you have a guy who potentially is going to be a supporter of yeshivas. He potentially is going to really help us out of our financial difficulties. And you know that if you invite him to your house and you don't give him any food, no chance the yeshiva is getting any support. Right? That's a standard thing. You give a guy food. But you can't give him food. Lifnei Iver. Zok Reb Shlomo Zalman, that he thinks it's mutter. Now, there are two reasons why we could be makel on this case. One reason is making a cheshbon in Lifnei Iver. Right? The cheshbon idea. Lemaisa. Am I being makar of him? Or am I pushing him away? Is my intention to give him an iser? To be machshor him? No, my intention is I want to make him closer to Yiddishkeit. I want to bring him in. I want him to have a greater connection. And think about the tremendous good that can happen. Right? Making a cheshbon in Lifnei Iver based on the idea. Is it a michshol? Is it not a michshol that we spoke about earlier? That's one possibility. Another possibility that other place can have, other poskim says, well, maybe the Isser of Ne'ivah is only if I give you a Chepta Shal Isser. Is this a Chepta Shal Isser? You don't make a bracha on it. Right? Is that Macholos Asuros? Really? Yeah? Probably not. Right? L'chara, the Chiyuv to make a bracha is a din on the Gavra. Right? So l'chara, it's not going to be a Michshol. Ramosha Sternbach, the Meisher Sternbach in Chelak Daled, Simon Memtes, says it the second way. He says that in most cases, that you're inviting someone over, you're giving him food, you know, Lameisa might not be a Macholos Asuros. Moreover, Meisher Sternbach will add Zaknich. He says you have to figure out the type of person you have. If the person you're inviting over is a mummer, someone who doesn't believe in God. So what's the shaila over here? Right? That he's supposed to make a bracha? But even if he makes a bracha, it's not a bracha. If I don't believe in God, or let's say, Jesus doesn't believe in God, right? So even if he makes a bracha, it's not considered a bracha. So I'm not being machsho him by giving him food that he won't make a bracha on, because he can't make a bracha. It's impossible. That's a chiddush that Ramosha Sternbach has. In terms of the shaila of inviting people to your house on Shabbos, when they're going to drive, so again, we have the Reb Shlomo Zalman's possible idea of that it's not a michshol. We have the Reb Moshe Sternbach thinks that you could be mekel in that case as well. That's in Chelak Aleph of Tshuvas V'Hanagos Simin Shindun Ches. You could be mekel to invite someone to your house that he's going to drive, because he's not being machshel him. But he has a different idea. He says that you should tell him to park far away from your house because of the Chol Hashem aspect. He says, Echad Shogeg Hamezid B'Chol Hashem won't help. So that is what Rav Moshe Sternbach says. Rav Moshe Feinstein, of course, is machmir not to invite people to your house on Shabbos if they're going to drive. The tshuva that Rav Shlomo Zalman has about driving is actually a tshuva that Rabbi Brander quotes. It's in the packet that Rabbi Brander gave in Ketuba Halacha a few years ago. It's not in the Mincha Shlomo Siman Lamed Hei. Driving to Shon Shabbos is not Mincha Shlomo Siman Lamed Hei. Okay, let's talk about two more things over here within Lifnei Iver. Chad Avar D'Nahara, we are going to be Megal. That's only Lifnei Iver D'Rabbanan. Shailas, what's considered Chad Avar D'Nahara? Big question. The Ramah seems to assume that is called Chad Avar D'Nahara if let's say the goy with Aver Menachai, right? That's the case. Right? I can't give Eivor Min HaChai to a guy that's lifnei Eivor. If we're he's on the same side of the river and he could get Eivor Min HaChai, that's Chara B'Dinahara, that's lifnei Eivor Mitzrabonim. Right? Fine. Zakt. The Ramah, even if the guy could get Eivor Min HaChai from a store, he could buy the Eivor Min HaChai, still that makes it Chara B'Dinahara. The Gra disagrees. And the Gra says, in order to be considered Charav Denahara, it has to be that the Goy has Eivor Min HaChai right in front of him. It's not enough that he can buy it from somewhere else. The Mishnah LaMelech talks along these lines. It's a little bit different. Was discussed in the Mishnah LaMelech. That's an important piece in terms of how we magdir what's Charav Denahara and what's Treyav Denahara. Now, let's just talk about one last point within Lifnei Eivor, which is Ma Mishnah Gehla Maisa all the time. There's a stira in Tosfos. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah says that Charav Denahara is going to be Heter Gomer. Tosfos in Shabbos and Daf Gimel says that Charav Denahara is going to be an Issur Derabbanan. Stira in Tosfos. The Shach asks the stira in Siman Kuf Nunav Sif Kut Vav. And for the Shach, if we're talking about a Yisrael Mummer, then Charav Denahara is going to be an Issur, is going to be Heter Gomer. But if we're talking about a regular Jew, then Charav Denahara is going to be an Issur Derabbanan. That is what the Shach says. You can stop it for a second.